I almost never watch the 6 o'clock news. But when I do, I want to cry out, "Come quickly, Lord, come quickly, come before the 11 o'clock news. Because the world is going mad." Life is not a lot of fun right now. Wars and rumors of wars. Our president met with the demonic leader of Russia, and after that meeting, Ukraine is suffering even greater attacks. And we're killing ourselves. It seems there is a mass shooting somewhere every day. This from the New York Times, published Friday. On Wednesday, August 27th, 8-year-old Fletcher Merkel went to school full of plans for the future. His mother, Molly, gave him $20 to go to Starbucks with his siblings after school. It was going to be the first time that he ordered on his own. He was looking forward to finishing the first Harry Potter book and starting the second one. He wanted to learn how to make beef Wellington. He was excited about his father coaching him in flag football. There were Lego structures to build, more grilled cheese sandwiches to make, more frogs, bunnies, worms, and turtles to bring into the house and inspect. All of that was cut short that morning when an assailant armed with a rifle, a shotgun, and a handgun fired on the school where Fletcher and other children sat in a mass at Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis, mere days after he had started third grade. Fletcher and a 10-year-old student, Harper Moisky, were killed, and 15 children between the ages of 6 and 15, along with 3 adults in their 80s, were injured. The toll is only beginning to be felt by family members, friends, the school, and the city. In a statement given to news outlets, Harper's parents described their daughter as someone who was full of happiness and infectious energy. Harper was a bright, joyful, and deeply loved 10-year-old whose laughter, kindness, and spirit touched everyone who knew her, they said. We live in a world gone mad. We're on our way to hell as a society. As a nation, we're losing the ability to play fair. The Republicans in Texas have rigged it so they're going to win. The Democrats in California have rigged it so they're going to win. And there are the personal struggles that we all have. All those things going on inside of us. Yet in the midst of all this trouble, there is that still small voice that speaks to my heart, the quiet voice, the Spirit of God saying, God is still on the throne. Evil will not win. And at times like these, we turn to the Psalms, because they deal with the reality in which we live. And Psalm 33 encourages the people of God to sing praises to the Lord with the attitude that they can depend on God in times of trouble. The psalmist is saying, I want you to understand that God is here, has revealed Himself, and we can depend on Him in the time of trouble. In our rapidly changing world, nothing is consistent anymore. But the psalmist tells us, I know the world is changing. I know there are enemies from within and from without. I know there are physical problems, spiritual problems, emotional problems, social problems, economic problems, but in the midst of all of that, and the rapid change that's going on around us, the confusion, the fear, the anxiety and doubt, I want you to know, and I do not want you to ever forget, that God does not change. Let's look into the Word. Psalm 33, verses 1, 2, and 3. The psalmist begins by calling the righteous to sing. Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise Him. Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre. Make music for Him on the 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song of praise to Him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy. Now, throughout the rest of the psalm, the writer of this hymn tells us we're to sing about four things. We're to sing praise to God because of His Word. Verses 4 through 9. For the Word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything He does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. The Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord and let everyone stand in awe of Him. For when He spoke, the world began. It appeared at His command. God spoke, and the world was. God breathed, and the sun, the moon, the stars came into being. Then He created the sea and the rivers and the lakes. And the psalmist says, although the world is changing, we have a changeless God to whom we can sing praises because of His Word. The power of His Word created the universe. It created us. And it can sustain us in a world we barely recognize. Kyle and I often joke about creating the Wayback Machine so we can disappear into the past for a few days or a few hours to a simpler time, a calmer time, a more peaceful time. But the psalmist wants to know in this Word is a place to which we can escape. And we praise God because of it. Secondly, we're to sing praise to God because of His works. Verses 10, 11, and 12. The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all their schemes. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people He has chosen as His inheritance. The Lord is at work in heaven and earth. History is His story. He has a plan of redemption for the nations. His plans are to bring redemption, not destroying one another. No matter what it looks like, the psalmist says His plans are unchanging and cannot be thwarted. And he says if we make plans without God's counsel, without His leadership, He'll nullify everything. He'll just put it aside. Death and destruction caused by evil people will not gain final victory. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart are from generation to generation. Thirdly, the psalmist says we are to sing praise to God because of His unfailing love. Verses 13 through 19. The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From His throne, He observes all who live on the earth. He made their hearts, So he understands everything they do. The best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear Him, those who rely on His unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. Now in this paragraph, the psalmist tells us three things about God's love. First of all, he says he sees all people and their works. The one who created us, who fashioned us, sees our hearts, our motives, those of the righteous, those of the wicked. He sees all. Secondly, God's love overrules self-confidence. He tells the righteous not to put their trust in kings or parliaments or congresses or presidents or in armies of whatever description and whatever weapons. He is the only one who can deliver us from any enemy, be it physical, emotional, or spiritual. Thirdly, God's love delivers the righteous. In verses 18 and 19, the psalmist says, "We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. Let Your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in You alone." We're to sing praises to God not only because of His Word and because of His work, but also because of His unfailing love. And then the psalmist concludes telling us we are to sing praise to God because He is our help and our shield. Verses 20 through 22. "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You." Now the Hebrew word that is translated hope is 74 times used in the Old Testament. And often it is translated wait. Because He is our help and our shield, we are to wait on God. Not panic, just wait. The hardest thing to do is wait. But the psalmist says, wait on the Lord because He is our help, our shield, our protection. He alone can meet our needs. How many times have we gotten ourselves into trouble? I raise my hand first. How many times have we gotten ourselves into trouble because we did not wait on the Lord? For His leading, for His guidance, for His direction, for His time. How many times? Because He is our help and our shield, the psalmist says we're to trust in His holy name. His holy name reminds us of who He is. Our hearts respond to a name. There are some names that cause us to cringe. Hitler, Stalin. There are other names, when we hear them, cause us to smile. The names of our spouses, the names of our children. God's name is holy. And His character is holy. And we respond to that holiness. Search His Word. See if ever there was a time in His Word where He failed His people. If you can find it, don't trust Him. But until you do, trust Him. In a rapidly changing world, in a world full of meanness and evil, the psalmist tells us to turn our hearts to God who never changes. We're to rest in Him and sing praises to Him for His words, for His works, for His love, and for His protection. What an incredible God we have. He is never going to change. Everywhere you look, I've already said this, it looks like the world is going to hell. But don't worry, God is on the throne. You can praise a God like that. You can trust a God like that. And we look towards Him and say, thank You that You are a God like that. Unchanging. And You're our shield. You're our hope. You're our protection. No matter what's going on around us, in You, we trust and rest and can be at peace.